Examiner. Today is Thursday, January 24th, 2019. We have one item on today's agenda. That is the Woodston preliminary plat. The order of procedure on this will be as follows. We'll hear first from the Planning Department. The department will provide a summary of the proposal. Then the applicant will have the opportunity to present on the proposal. Then we'll open the matter up for public comment. Anyone who is here and wishes to testify on the project may do so. And then the applicant will have an opportunity to address any questions or concerns which arise. The Planning Department may have further clarifications. I may have questions throughout the proceeding. I think with that, Mr. Smith, would you like to go ahead and present? Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name for the record?
My name is Jeff Smith.
And you swear to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I want to clarify the exhibits first. It looks like in the index there was a slight error. I think exhibit 31 is the certificate of public notice and the documents that I received. And then 32 would be the staff report. 33 is the staff presentation. And I have reviewed the exhibits that were submitted up until now, including the staff report. Did you want to go ahead and admit those?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll admit 1 through 33. And I understand there's a public comment that came in recently.
Yeah, there's an email from Kurt Lyons who submitted the comments after the staff report was issued.
I have not looked at that yet, but we'll go ahead and admit that as Exhibit 34.
This proposal will provide affordable housing for residents of Kitsap County, future homes, which will provide to our housing stock. My name is Jeff Smith. I'm representing the Department of Community Development. And this proposal today is the Linden Land Investment LLC has made a request to subdivide approximately 4 acres into 16 single-family lots, consistent with the requirements of Title 16 of Kitsap County Code. The request involves 8 detached units up to 8 duplex units for a total of 24 units, and which should also include an open space track for with hiking trails and a recreation facility. The roads will be private and include storm drainage facilities, sidewalks, on-street parking, and this is all reviewed for consistency with Title 16 and Title 17 and Title 19. The hearing examiner is the review authority. The hearing examiner issues a decision on this proposal, and the final plat is heard by or reviewed by the Board of County Commissioners. That's a Type 4 decision. We currently are going through an abbreviated review process on that, so where they go and sign the mylars and stuff. So it's more streamlined. The property is located at 12,700 block of Silverdale Way. It's in Commissioner District 3. Access to the plat is from Silverdale Way from a privately maintained road located near the center of the west side. Let me back up here. The subject property is kind of sandwiched in between Silverdale Way and Ridgetop Boulevard. So Silverdale Way is on the west side, and Ridgetop Boulevard is on the east side. There is a parcel between the rear property line and Ridgetop Boulevard. And it's located in the Silverdale community. Here's a assessor parcel map. It shows the parcels around the subject property. Many of the parcels in the area have already been platted. So this is it's a classic urban infill. the property is covered by a significant stand of Douglas fir trees, includes trees and ground cover. There's an existing paved road that meanders through the subject property up to the back side of the property running on Ridgetop Boulevard. There are portions of this site that are classified as intermediate slopes. And there are slopes in there approximately 4.5% or higher on this property. And there was a geologic assessment provided by Environmental Sound Consulting. The property is has a comprehensive plan designation as urban low, and the intent of that is to provide urban land that can be served by a range of urban services for development. And zoning is as well as urban low, and that's one of three zoning classifications under the urban designation urban low. So that's 5 to 9 dwelling units per acre. So the property around the project site is all zoned urban low, except for the southwest corner, which is urban restricted. So this will be consistent or compatible with the adjacent properties. The property was, or the project was reviewed against the urban standards at 16.40 for subdivision. Some of the important elements I'll kind of go through is the public transit. It was one of the conditions of the environmental determination under SEPA. There is an existing transit facility located at the southwest corner. When the frontage improvements, that transit facility will have to be moved, and the applicant will coordinate with transit as far as the moving of that and the construction of that facility.
And so it'll remain in roughly the same location, but maybe adjusted,
location.
Right?
Right. Another requirement is off-street parking and on-street parking. The applicant does include. The applicant does include on-street parking for overflow parking. And it's 0.5 of the amount of, so it's what, be 24 spaces approximately, as on-street parking for overflow. That's required by code. The remainder of those spaces for parking will be on the property. That's two spaces per lot. And the proposal is consistent with that requirement. The applicant's prepared a landscaping plan. And as you can see, we have a landscaping plan showing street trees along the roadway internal to the site and also along Silverdale Way. The landscaping plan also includes the open space track, where the trees will remain, and there'll be a passive use trail associated with this project, and people will be able to meander through those trees as well. There'll be an active rec facility down near the front of the project near Silverdale Way, where there'd be some play equipment. Proposal includes sidewalks, because it's a low volume road. The policy is anything under 400 average daily trips. We as a low volume road, and so we only require sidewalks on one side. So the project is reviewed for consistency with the recreation facility element, and based on what the applicants prepared with the combination of the small rec facility down near Sordo Way and the area reserved on the east side, that is consistent with the code requirements. The applicant has provided the sidewalks as stated before, and so the project includes safe walking conditions and providing an internal connection down to Silverdale Way, and it is also consistent with those requirements. The proposal is, like I said, urban low, and the net density of this project is 8 dwelling units per acre. So it's consistent with falls in the range of 5 to 9. Mm-hmm. So there'll be 8 lots that will be single family detached, and I've marked here on the lots to make it stand out a little better is that the lots with a green star are those lots that will be potentially duplex lots. And county code requires it to be double the lot area. Minimum lot area for urban low lot is 2,400 square feet. And so these would exceed that requirement.
It's 5,000, right?
5,000 or greater. So yeah. There's a couple on the border, but I think one or two, but they comply with the requirement for duplex lots. And the applicant has indicated that they like to have some flexibility on these particular parcels because they might have a builder buy them and maybe build some duplexes, or they might just build them all.
Okay, so they might not all end up being duplexes, but.
Yes. So we did receive, or excuse me, we did proper public notice per Title 21 of the Kitsap County Code. We did notification around the subject property 800 feet, and we didn't receive any comments. We did receive a comment by Kurt Lyons after the application was issued, and Mr. Lyons' concerns was about traffic. And traffic impacts on the local road network. And Mr. Lyons lives right here. So he's like about 2 blocks away. The proposal was, traffic analysis prepared for this proposal, and the traffic engineer concluded there weren't any impacts to the local road network. So Silverdale Way is a principal arterial and has a significant amount of capacity, but there will be frontage improvements for sidewalks and also a bike lane in front. So that's a typical condition of a land use project where they're exacted at the time of a land use decision, unless the county decides to make improvements based on their traffic improvement program. They call it the 6-year TIP. And there are some intersections that are slated to be improved along here, associated with Woodbridge Crossing, and there'll be a signal in the future to the south.
So it'll be a bike lane, sidewalk, and then landscaping along the frontage there.
Yeah, and our experience the last 10 years is as land use projects have been coming in, we've actually been connecting them and providing continuity and providing sidewalks along frontages along major roadways. The staff issued a mitigated determination non-significance, and that was for the frontage improvements, we consider off-site improvements. For the sidewalk and the bike lane, and the sidewalk's supposed to be 6 feet wide and the bike lane's 5 feet wide. And the other one was for coordinating with Kitsap Transit. Other condition was to coordinate with Kitsap Transit as far as relocating that bus stop.
Yeah, it looks like those are proposed conditions 52 and 53.
Yes. So therefore, the staff has reviewed this proposal and finds it consistent with Kitsap County policy and recommends approval with the 53 conditions.
Okay. I had a couple clarification questions. It might be for either you or for the applicant, but so there's a, right now there's a private drive into the site, correct? And that's going away. And then the internal roads, they'll be stubbed, or they'll have access to the other properties. I wasn't exactly clear on how that would. These are the internal roads and how they connect with the adjacent properties. I don't know if you have clarification on that, or the applicant could address that as well.
My understanding, and the applicant can clarify this some more, but there was no provisions for connectivity with adjacent properties.
Okay, because it looks like, because you have the roads here, and then it looks like they could potentially connect, or they should.
Yeah, they could provide access to other adjacent lots.
I just have a clarifying question on that. And then, do you know, are we in the Silverdale Design District, or are we outside?
We're outside.
We're outside of it.
It's since it's a residential zone.
Okay, all right. And then Exhibit 16, I wanted to make sure, is that the current site plan? I know sometimes these are revised throughout the process. And I think on 16, the date on that was August, I think it looks like August 28, 2018, but I wanted to check if that was the current. And again, I can check with the applicant on that as well.
I believe it is. This kind of sat in the, waiting in the hopper to go to hearing.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I know sometimes these are revised. And then one last clarifying question. That has to do with the net density calculation.
Yeah.
Because the applicants, they submit the worksheets with the net density. I think Exhibit 4 has their numbers on that. And on the open space, and this doesn't make a difference in terms of kind of substance, but I just want to make sure the numbers were correct. On open space acreage, they have 1.57 acres, and I think it might be a little higher than that, because if you add the recreational area, which is 9,650 feet, and then you add the open space tract, you get a little higher figure, 75,080 feet. So I was just curious if that, and then you divide that, of course, by square feet per acre, and you end up, I think, with about 1.72 acres. So I'm wondering if that's the figure that should be taken out to calculate the net acreage. I can give you time to think about that, because there was a lot of math in there. And again, these types of figures shift a bit during the review process. So.
I'll have to look at that because sometimes we don't like to have the double dipping for the rec facility.
Oh, okay. So it should just maybe it's just the so you wouldn't include the 9650, but you'd include the It looks like the open space track would be 65,430 then. Should
yeah.
be the only number in there. Okay. All right. And that's what you subtract. Okay. So that, it, if you need to clarify that, let me know. But
sure.
otherwise, I'll, that's the figure I'll
okay.
go with. So, all right. I think those are my questions for right now. Thank
okay.
you. Is the applicant here? Good morning.
Hi.
Your name for the record?
James Laughlin.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
Hi.
Is there anything you wanted to add to Mr. Smith's presentation on the proposal?
I just wanted to clarify, you know, we originally were contemplating townhouses to get the maximum density
mm-hmm.
allowed was 32.
Right.
On the 4 acres. And it got very complicated because of the slopes that we were trying to preserve, the stand of trees, you know, behind the project. So we're confining all of the development to the easily developable portion of the site. So that's why we
does
have.
Does that relate to kind of how the open space is configured and
yeah,
all that?
So yeah, so the open space is up behind, and that's where we have the trails. And so I think I just want to reiterate that there's the opportunity for duplexes on some of these lots, but that's not necessarily how it's going to turn out. You know?
Okay.
So, and that's why we made them 5,000 square feet, because that's the
county
minimum.
That's the minimum,
yeah,
for a duplex.
And we could have done this as a performance-based development, but chose to
right.
just to do a straight plat because there's other requirements that we didn't want to go. We didn't want to go through the increased, you know, review, I guess, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for a performance-based development. So, and clarifying, it was not intended to make these easements, roadway easements, connect
okay.
to the adjacent properties. And those, the drawing could actually be amended to leave a 5-foot strip so there's no confusion about that. I suppose
there's not a need
plan.
To amend that. I was just
okay.
I was just wondering in terms of the
right.
interconnectivity
yeah.
of and is
okay.
is the did I read the record correctly there that the existing access road does that provide access to other properties or just this property or
it was just this property
okay.
because for some reason they before Ridgetop went in the house was built and they had this steep winding asphalt driveway through the woods to a house behind.
Okay.
So there were two tax parcels, and so that back lot got segregated
okay.
off.
Okay, and that's that weird shaped
yeah.
lot. Okay,
yeah.
yeah,
and then the driveway easement has been vacated.
Okay,
there was an easement.
Okay, so we're not cutting off access to anybody. Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Okay.
okay. And I don't know if there are any other questions. We did have a traffic impact analysis
yep.
prepared.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so that should take care of that.
Yeah, no, I don't have any other questions. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to testify on the proposal? And did we have a sign-up sheet? Is there anybody on the sign-up sheet? Okay, all right. Let the record reflect that there was no one here who has indicated a wish to comment on the proposal. Mr. Smith, anything else? Any other clarifications? Or okay. All right. I've reviewed everything that's been presented today. I've reviewed the record, and there's quite a lot of criteria that apply to these plats in Title 16 and Title 17. However, staff did a thorough job of assessing those criteria, and I do think that this plat is consistent with those criteria. So I will be approving the preliminary plat. A decision, however, on that will be out within 10 business days. It sounds like the applicant is fine with the conditions and so forth. I reviewed those. They made sense, and I believe they're necessary to ensure consistency with the county's requirements. Occasionally, as I go through a proposal, I'll notice something that might need to be further addressed. I'm not seeing anything right now, but I'll have if there are any revisions or any additions, I'll let you step up a second. Yeah, if there are any revisions, I'll have a separate section in the plat or in the decision, so you can go right to that and see if anything was changed. Although nothing is popping out right now, and please step forward. And if you could restate your name again for the record.
Once again, James Laughlin. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there, I was reviewing the comments, and it has had to do with the frequency of street trees. I know we've shown street trees on Silverdale Way, right, Jeff? And those are consistent with the code. And then internally, are we showed street trees more or less at the corners of the lots.
Well, there are requirements in 17.500 on the spacing of trees.
Yeah,
and
right.
So the landscape, there is a landscaping plan in here, but it's a preliminary one. So
right.
it's my understanding, and Mr. Smith can correct me, but it's my understanding that the final plan will then be reviewed for consistency with all of the 17.500. So it will need to be ensure you're consistent with code.
Right. And I'm just, I guess I'm just trying to clarify if we are going to be required to have street trees on the internal roadways. Are we? Okay. All right.
You will have
I'll look at that because I thought I saw, I don't know what the spacing actually is. And so we'll.
I don't remember off the top of my head what the spacing is, but there are spacing. 17.500 is pretty detailed, and there are spacing requirements in there. And so, yes, the landscaping plan would need to be consistent both for the internal.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Mr. Smith, do you have anything? Make sure we get you before a microphone. And again, your name for the record.
Jeff Smith.
Yep.
Yes, there is a spacing requirement in 17.500, and it's 25 to 30 feet separation. And at the time of the site development activity permit, there'll be a final landscape plan. But we'll coordinate with the applicant where those trees will be located relative to where the driveway approaches will be.
Right.
And so they're not in conflict with that. And the other thing is that the trees will be required to be planted at the prior construction of the plat, or they would be condition of being planted prior to a certificate of occupancy of the individual homes. So they don't get damaged during construction. That's one of the main reasons, because the lots are smaller.
Right. Yeah, and the approval of the plat does not state whether or not that preliminary landscaping plan is in fact consistent. It's the final plan that is reviewed through the SDAP process that the county confirms that there is consistency with the 17.500 requirements. So,
yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, anything else? Any other procedural questions, or are we done for today? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you all.